Buying or selling your home? Real Estate for Life can connect you with a pro-life real estate agent. When Real Estate for Life receives a referral fee, they donate 65% to Catholic Answers. Learn more at realestateforlife.org. Hello and welcome to Catholic Answers Live. I'm Cy Kellett, your host, Dr. Carlo Broussard, our guest. He's got the new book, The Saints Pray for You. So this hour, we'll talk about how to talk to Protestants about the saints. If you've got questions about how to talk to Protestants about the saints, 888-318-7884. We can throw purgatory in there because they're included in the Communion of Saints. But also, Carlo wrote a book about purgatory. Purgatory is for real. So if you have someone in your life that you would like to talk to about the saints from a Catholic perspective, you are welcome to call and get your question in for Dr. Carlo Broussard, 888-318-7884, 888-318-7884. I mentioned the book, The Saints Pray for You, How the Christians in Heaven Help Us Here on Earth. It's just one of many things Carlo's got going right now. You can check out all that he does over at his website, carlobroussard.com, carlobroussard.com. You can find out about the short course he's doing on relativism, the podcast, Sunday Catholic Word, all the other books, all the speaking engagements. Dr. Carlo Broussard, welcome.
Hey, Cy. Thanks for having me, man. It's always great to be with you.
Have you been screaming at political rallies or something? have you caught the political bug?
No, not the political bug, but the coughing bug.
You got some kind of bug, yeah.
Yeah, past couple of days have been pretty rough. Kind of got sick there and coughing last night. And so we shall see how this episode goes.
All right. Well, if you need me to answer a few questions for you. I cannot guarantee the quality of the answers, but
all I gotta say is don't make me laugh too hard, Cy, because if that happens, then it's game over,
that
brother.
That is a problem with me. I can sometimes hurt people with the intensity of the laughing, so I will be very careful. 888-318-7884 is our number. How to talk to Protestants about the saints or purgatory, if you'd like to talk about that. 888-318-7884. So, Carlo, I'll go to the calls, but let me ask you this about the book. Why'd you write it? Why'd you write a book called The Saints Pray for You?
Yeah, well, we didn't have a book on the intercession of the saints in the Catholic Answers Press catalog. Sort of a practical reason there. I mean, it is ranked at the top with regard to topics that are searched at Catholic.com, as well as topics that are asked about whenever we do shows on the Catholic-Protestant dialogue. And so ranked up there with purgatory is, you know, Mary and the saints praying for us. And so given that we didn't have a book on one of the most asked about topics, it was fitting that we get a book on it. And so we decided to write the book, and I'm pretty happy with it. I think people will enjoy it. Very grateful to Drew Belsky and the whole Catholic Answers Press team for making it readable and helping me out to make it digestible. It's always a team effort, and I'm always grateful to their hard work and working with me and challenging me on certain points because they have great minds. And so it involves an apologetical review. And so I'm very happy with the outcome.
The Saints Pray for You. It's available now. It's on sale. I'll tell you about the sale before we go to the break. 888-318-7884, 888-318-7884. But of course, there are those who would argue that. They would say the saints in heaven are not praying for you, or that the communication with them, the telling them what you need prayers for, all of that is not part of the Christian faith. And maybe you want to explain why it is that Catholics believe, and I shouldn't just say Catholics, there are many, many Christians, Orthodox Christians, many Protestant Christians who believe that the saints pray for you. But it is a predominant, as Dr. Broussard was pointing out, this is one of those areas. You know, we can name them, and you could probably name them, but you know, with the Sola Scriptura and the Sola Fide and a few other things, the prayers of the saints, is one of the areas of controversy between Protestants and Catholics, or many Protestants and Catholics in any case. 888-318-7884 is the number to call. I'll tell you what, let's just get to a call. We'll let somebody get on here with Dr. Broussard before we go too long. Trey is in Little Rock, Arkansas, listening on the Catholic Answers app. Trey, thanks for downloading the app onto your phone. Go ahead with your question for Dr. Broussard.
Thanks a lot, gentlemen. I appreciate you taking my call.
Oh, we're happy to have you.
So my question today is about purgatory.
Okay.
So I'm a lifelong Protestant, and then my wife and I are in the process of converting. We're in OCIA currently.
Awesome.
And we're really enjoying it. It's beautiful.
Beautiful.
And I understand the need for purgation and why the theory is there, but does the church have a definitive teaching that purgatory is a place or a process?
Yeah, so the short answer would be no. The church doesn't have any sort of definitive teaching as regard to whether it's instantaneous or a process, or with regard to its place, right? Now, based upon what the church teaches about this being a post-mortem purification of separated souls, we can infer from that, given philosophical understanding of what the soul is, it's an immaterial aspect or principle of the human being that continues to exist after death. And given that it's immaterial, it's not going to be taking up any sort of space. And so therefore, it's not going to be in a place. That would be one theological or philosophical inference that we could make given certain understandings of the soul. Now, it is true that within the theological small t, tradition, there were some theologians who would assert that purgatory was a place where souls were somehow detained by a corporeal material fire. That is not something that we're obliged to believe as Catholics. That is a theological opinion that is open up for debate and can be denied by faithful Catholics. And so I personally just tend and am inclined more towards the position that it's not in any sort of geographical place within the physical cosmos, but it's a real state of existence just beyond the boundaries of space and physical reality. With regard to it, purgatory or the final purification being a process or instantaneous, again, the church has no definitive position on this, but within the theological, again, small t tradition, you have varying opinions. I think the safest thing to say here, Trey, would be that it's possible that for some souls, the purification can be instantaneous. As for other souls, depending upon the amount of debt of temporal punishment due for past forgiven sins remaining, and the rootedness, the degree to which unhealthy attachments to creaturely goods are rooted in the soul, will determine the degree of the duration of the postmortem purification. So I'm inclined to think that within the in accord with some aspects of the theological tradition, with some theologians, that for some it will be instantaneous, and for others there will be some sort of duration to the purgation. It seems reasonable to me that for those souls who have more debt to discharged, and deeply rooted unhealthy attachments to creaturely goods, that their purgation would be having a longer duration. Now, somebody can counter that and say, well, wait a minute, Carlo, duration of purification is not necessary for the greater debt and the deeper unhealthy attachments, because the purification can be higher in intensity, and that be proportionate and match up to the greater debt and the deeper unhealthy attachments. And so there's a variety of different opinions here, and we're free as Catholics to have differing opinions with regard to the nature of the process or it being instantaneous. But again, the church has no definitive teaching on that. And in my book, Purgatory is for Real, I kind of spell out the different theological opinions on this. So that book might be helpful for you, Trey.
What do you think, Trey?
I appreciate that. That helps quite a bit. Thank you very much.
Well, I'll tell you what, if you want to hang on the line, first of all, congratulations for being in the OCIA, you and your wife. If you want to hang on the line and give an address, we'll send you a copy of Carlo's book, Purgatory is for Real, Good News About the Afterlife for Those Who Aren't Perfect Yet. We'll take a quick break. We'll be right back. If you have a question about the saints, about how to explain Catholic teaching about the saints, maybe to your Protestant friends or family, or just maybe people you enter into conversations with about the saints, if this is a problem for you, explaining the Catholic view of the saints, give us a call, 888-318-7884.
Catholic Answers Live.
Do you have a question but prefer to ask it privately? Catholic Questions can help. Go to CatholicQuestions.com to ask your question online, email us, drop us a letter, or give us a call. Longtime Catholic Answers Live apologist and author Jim Blackburn or another Catholic Questions apologist will be happy to assist you. Catholic Questions proudly supports Catholic Answers Live, so visit us at CatholicQuestions.com today. That's CatholicQuestions.com.
Underwriting for Catholic Answers Live is provided by Magnificat. Published monthly, Magnificat features texts of daily Mass, prayers, articles, meditations, art commentaries, and more, in step with the liturgical rhythm of the Church, on the web at Magnificat.com.
He is honored by the Church as a bishop, a defender of orthodoxy, and a saint with the title of Doctor.
Matthew Bunsen and the Doctors of the Church.
St. Ambrose of Milan was headed toward a brilliant secular career in the Roman Empire when he was suddenly chosen to be Bishop of Milan in 374. He proved one of the greatest bishops and homilists in the history of the Church. Above all, he is renowned for baptizing St. Augustine of Hippo.
To find out more, visit EWTN.com and click on Catholicism.
Welcome back to Catholic Answers Live. Dr. Carlo Broussard is our guest. His new book, The Saints Pray for You, How the Christians in Heaven Help Us Here on Earth, gives you the true story of how there's, I would say, millions and millions and millions of saints willing to help you with their prayers, some of whom you know by name, but, you know, because we get the names of St. Francis and Dominic and Teresa and Catherine and all that. If you want to know how all that works, if you want to know what the Church teaches about how that works, we get a copy. The Saints Pray for You. It's on sale right now, 25% off over at shop.catholic.com. When you check out, let me see if there's a promo code. Oh, Saints Pray. Yep, just, or it could be Saint Spray. I'm not, it's either Saints Pray or Saint Spray. It's all one word, so you decide which it is. When you check out at shop.catholic.com today, you get 25% off Dr. Carlo Broussard's brand new book, The Saints Pray for You. If you'd like to talk with Carlo, you're welcome to call 888-318-7884. We're talking about the saints, and maybe you'd like some help talking about the saints. Maybe you have questions about how the Catholic teaching works, or just like some help putting together explanations for others of how the Catholic teaching on the saints works and praying to the saints works. 888-318-7884. We said call about purgatory if you'd like as well, because certainly part of the life of sanctity, the communion of the saints, involves those in purgatory as well. So let's go to Cincinnati. Joseph's in Cincinnati, Ohio, watching on YouTube. Joseph, thank you for waiting. Go ahead with your question for Dr. Broussard.
Hi, I'm sorry, I've got another purgatory question, and this is one I've been kind of working through for 30 years. I remember discussing it in ERE with a sister long ago, and I was reading the Catechism and realized that I'm still struggling with it, and it's how to reconcile purgatory with the final judgment. My understanding is, you know, after the final judgment, there's no need for purgatory. So I guess the question is, does the Church have a teaching on if we don't need purgatory at the final judgment, why do we need it now, or vice versa? And, you know, assuming there's a duration, do we have a teaching on sort of what happens if you've got some time left to serve and Christ returns?
Yeah, great questions, Joseph. And I tell you what, man, God bless you for pondering these questions for 30 years. You're kind of like the Blessed Mother, pondering these things in your heart. So that's great, man. I mean, you're thinking about theology. That's always a good thing. So with regard to, as I heard maybe perhaps a couple of questions in there. So it is true that after the final judgment, there will no longer be any need for purgatory. It belongs to Church teaching that purgatory is temporary. It's not an everlasting destiny. There are only two everlasting destinies, heaven or hell. We see this confirmed by our blessed Lord himself in a couple of passages, Matthew 25, 31 through 46, the sheep and the goats, sheep to eternal life, goats to everlasting damnation, John 5, 29, the good to the resurrection of life. They will rise to the resurrection of life, those who have done evil to the resurrection of judgment. Those are the two everlasting destinies that are established after the final judgment. And so that would preclude or exclude any sort of everlasting purification. So purgatory does come to an end. Now, why would we need it at the moment of our death for those who die before the final judgment? Well, because it is part and parcel of judgment that the soul of those who die in friendship with Christ, but lacking the holiness necessary, the perfection of holiness necessary to enter into the beatific vision, that they undergo a final purification so that they don't have to wait until the end of the final judgment in order to enter into the beatific vision. That was something that the church has infallibly taught, that it is possible for the souls of those who die to enter into the beatific vision without having to wait until the end of time at the final judgment. And then finally, with regard to those who are present at the final judgment and our Lord comes, that gives rise to the question of whether they will need any sort of final purification. And if so, how does that fit with the whole question of duration, et cetera? Well, here's how I respond to that question in my book, Joseph. It is possible that those who are still alive at the coming of our Lord will still need some final purification before receiving the beatific vision in the intellect, right? For the intellect to be united to the divine essence. If that is the case, for those who do need a final purification, it is true that there would be no process there. There would be no duration of purification because the final judgment is fixing to happen. The end times are happening then. And so this is where the intensity of the suffering or the purification would come into play in order to take care of any remaining debt of temporal punishment due forgiven sin, in order to be proportionate to the amount of debt due for past forgiven sin and the rootedness of those unhealthy attachments. As I was speaking earlier with a previous caller and our first caller, for those souls who would have those deeply rooted unhealthy attachments and a lot of debt of temporal punishment due for past forgiven sin, that could be taken care of with the intensity of the final purification, such that there would be no need for a long duration of the purification to match and be proportionate to that amount of debt and rootedness of unhealthy attachments. But the intensity of the suffering could take care of that. And that intense suffering could be instantaneous, and you would have a proportion between the vestiges of sin that are present and the suffering that is due to the soul. Is that helpful for you, Joseph?
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. Thank you very much.
Have we accomplished and brought to an end the pondering of 30 years?
Yeah, and I was kind of along those lines. You know, I'm certainly not an apologist, but I was wondering, you know, maybe there's something about moving outside of temporal space that would mean kind of duration of purgatory wasn't necessary, or maybe the qualities of the final judgment would have some purification that's not possible in our current end times. So I think we're kind of on the same,
all right, cool,
on the same branch.
Awesome, man. Glad I could be of help.
Well, since you had a purgatory question as well, Joseph, I'd love to send you a copy of Carlos' earlier book, Purgatory is for Real, Good News About the Afterlife for Those Who Aren't Perfect Yet. All you have to do is hang on the line and we'll send it to you. The current book is The Saints Pray for You, How the Christians in Heaven Help Us Here on Earth, a beautiful new book from Dr. Carlo Roussard. And if you'd like help explaining to Protestant friends, family, coworkers, or just people you talk to about these things, help explaining what the Catholic Church teaches about the saints and about purgatory, you are welcome to call 888-318-7884, 888-318-7884. I'm going now to Kelly in, Kelly, I'm sorry. I don't think I can pronounce the name of your town. Probably everybody knows it, but I probably can't pronounce it. Listening in Ohio to Channel 130 Sirius XM Satellite Radio. That's EWTN on satellite radio. Kelly, will you say the name of your town for me?
It's Chillicothe.
Chillicothe. Oh, yeah, that's that would have been like my 11th guess.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Chillicothe, Ohio. I'm such a Californian. I had no clue. Kelly, go ahead with your question for Dr. Broussard.
Well, I have a question. Earlier, there was a gentleman on that talked about purgatory and going through the OCIA class. And congratulations to him. My husband is a 31-year Catholic convert, and I am a 3-year Catholic convert.
Oh,
but
praise
we
God.
Went through and, yeah, we went. I went through the RCIA. So I know this doesn't have a lot to do with that, but what's the difference between the OCIA and RCIA?
It's better. It's new and improved. It's way better. You got the old system. Sorry about that, Kelly. I hope it'll stick, but... Yeah. No, go ahead, Carlo.
So, Kelly, it's the same process. It's just a name change. And the name change, the Catholic bishops, the U.S. Conference of Catholic Bishops, had changed the name in November of 2021. And it was done to reflect a more accurate translation from the Latin text, which is Ordo Initiationis Christianae Adultorum. So notice Ordo. That's order of initiation of Christian adults, as opposed to rite. If you say like rite of Christian initiation of adults, a rite captures a ritual act, like an action that you perform, like say within the sacraments, right? The rite of the sacraments, sort of a formula that you're utilizing to perform some ecclesiastical act or a sacrament. And so that captures more of an instant, an episode of some sort of action, whereas the order of Christian initiation of adults not only is a more accurate translation of the Latin, but it does indeed capture better the development, the ongoing development of the participants in the process. And so it's not just a one-time thing, but it's something that's extended over time for the participants to develop, right, and to grow in their inquiry and in their process of either becoming Catholic or, if they're already Catholic, to grow in their understanding of the faith in order to be confirmed and that sacrament of confirmation take deeper root and bear more fruits given their growth and holiness and understanding, etc. So that would be what I would say, sort of a two-prong answer there with regard to accurate translation from the Latin and to capture sort of the process and developmental nature of the process there.
Okay,
that
Kelly?
Was redundant. Sorry about that.
Do we lose Kelly?
Becoming Catholic was the best thing ever.
Oh, praise God.
Praise the Lord for that, yeah.
Well, here's absolutely the second best thing. I'm going to send you a free copy of Carlo's new book, The Saints Pray. Probably not the second best. I mean, Carlo, with all due respect, I imagine there's probably a few things in between. Kelly, all you got to do is hang on the line. If we can spell Chillicothe, did I say it right? Chillicothe?
Chillicothe, yes.
Chillicothe. If we can spell that, we will mail this to you. The Saints Pray for You, How the Christians in Heaven Help Us Here on Earth. The new book from Dr. Carlo Broussard will be on its way to you almost as soon as Siobhan finishes typing in your address. Thanks, Kelly. It was nice to get to talk with you. I just want you to know some things are highlighted. I don't know why they are. Do you want to tell me why? It's okay for me to just go down the list like usual, right? Okay, good.
You sure?
A little behind the scenes. Do you know why they're highlighted, Carlo? Do you have any idea?
I have no idea. Maybe to let you know that's the next one to go to.
If that's it, this is a genuine improvement in our system, if that's what that is. Like any kind of visual clue I can get about which line to go to, I like it. All right, let's go to, do we have time? Yeah, we got time before we have to take a break. We'll go to Blas in Frisco, Texas, listening on the Guadalupe Radio Network. Now, I hope I got that right. Blas, is that correct?
Yes, correct. My pleasure speaking with you both. Very,
very, very good. We're having a little trouble with our connection. Try to...
sorry about that. Let me know this is a better.
Is Frisco like way out in Texas, or is it anywhere near a cell tower? Are you within 100 miles? Give it a try again.
There you go. Can you hear me now? Is that a little better for you?
Yeah, that's a little better. Yeah, go ahead.
Sorry about that. Yeah, I'm sorry. I apologize.
No, we're happy you're here. We're glad you're here. Go ahead.
Sure. So it's a two-part question. Might try and go over to purgatory, but it's this, there's a scripture where Christ talks to the rich man and how he had to sell everything, and then it might be easier for a camel to go through the eye of the needle. But at the end of the scripture, I think Christ talks about inheriting a treasure. And the question I had was, is that treasure inherited in the purgatory, or do you see it in purgatory, or what is that treasure referring regarding that scripture?
So you're asking about the treasure that the rich young man will receive if he gives everything away and follows our Lord?
I believe so, yes. I'm sorry. I don't have that scripture.
Right. Yeah. Store up treasure for yourself in heaven. Yeah.
Store up treasure for yourself in heaven. Yeah. So that's a great question, Blas. And I would say that that commonly is interpreted with regard to the higher degrees of experience of the beatific vision. So the more good works that we do in this life, motivated by charity, acts of love, that, quote unquote, stores up treasures for us in heaven, in the sense that our growth in the capacity for love in this life will allow for us to experience God in the beatific vision in a higher degree in the heavenly existence. And so in that sense, we can store up treasures for ourselves in heaven.
I'm going to come back to you, Blas, if you have a follow-up, but you got to give us a quick break. We'll take a couple minutes, be right back with more Dr. Carlo Broussard on Catholic Answers Live. We hope that one of the things that we communicate here at Catholic Answers Live is that our Catholic faith allows us to be fully serious about all the problems we encounter in the church and in the world, but it also lets us have light hearts and maybe even mix in a bit of fun. And that is exactly what our good friend Joe Heschmeyer does in his popular podcast, Shameless Popery. You should check it out at shamelessjoe.com. Joe's got a deep grasp of the faith, of morals, the teachings of the church, all that, but he's also got a witty conversational style. He entertains and he informs, but you will leave equipped to better answer the most common challenges, misconceptions, and questions about the Catholic faith. He's got insightful guests, he does on-air debates, and he takes a close look into all the things that you want to know about as a Catholic living today. You'll walk away knowledgeable and filled with joy. Look for Joe on his YouTube channel. Check him out at shamelessjoe.com or wherever you get your podcasts. And if you like what you hear, become a patron.
Why We're Catholic is the one book you can hand to anyone to invite them into or back to the Catholic faith. With more than 400,000 copies sold, Trent Horn's book has had a number one ranking on Amazon.com for 5 years running. Now available in softcover, book cases, ebook, and on Audible. Find out what the excitement is all about. Order your copies of Why We're Catholic at shop.catholic.com or visit whywearecatholic.com.
Many people have forgotten just how revolutionary the Bible creation stories are. But the first three chapters of Genesis are a powerful challenge to anyone in any generation who would undervalue human lives. In the Beginning, the new book by Monica Migliorino Miller will take you on a fantastic journey through the first chapters of Genesis, unfolding the richness of life as God sees it. Get In the Beginning today at shop.catholic.com or ask for it at a good Catholic bookstore.
I'm Deacon Harold Burke Sivers. Join me for Beacon of Truth today at 4 p.m. Eastern.
On the next Beacon of Truth, Word of God Wednesday and Vocation Sunday with Soulful Psalm 86.
Now, back to Catholic Answers Live.
Welcome back. Catholic Answers Live. Dr. Carlo Broussard is our guest. The number is 888-318-7884. We're talking about how to talk to Protestants about the saints and purgatory. If you have questions about that, 888-318-7884. Blas in Frisco, Texas, on the line. And we were talking a bit about when Jesus speaks to the rich young man and finally invites the rich young man, sell all you have give the proceeds to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. I mistakenly said store up treasure in heaven. That actually comes from a different part of the gospel, so excuse me for that. But the idea remains. Blas was asking about what does that mean? What does it mean to have treasure in heaven? Carlo, you said, I don't know if you want me to paraphrase it, but essentially the capacity to love is the treasure in heaven.
Yes. So, you know, you could look at it in the sense of your treasure in heaven is just eternal life itself. Mm-hmm. But whenever we introduce this idea of storing up treasures, plural, in heaven, that would seem to indicate the quote-unquote rewards of heaven. And as many commentators point out, those rewards of heaven refer to the degree in with which we experience the beatitude of seeing or knowing the divine essence in heaven, what we call the beatific vision. And that's proportioned to, dependent on, in virtue of, the amount of charity that we die with, which is determined by the deeds, the good deeds, the loving deeds that we perform in this life, acts of love. Our Lord teaches us those three primary acts of love of almsgiving, prayer, and fasting in the Sermon on the Mount, and how these deeds will win for us, merit for us, in virtue of the principle of charity, rewards in heaven, and thereby storing up for ourselves, while we do those deeds here on earth, storing up for ourselves these treasures in heaven. That is to say, that higher experience of the beatitude in heaven. And so that's what I would say to that.
Blas, I said I'd come back to you and see if you had a follow-up. Was that clear, or do you have more?
No, thank you. I do have one more regarding the saints.
Okay.
Over the weekend, I experienced a Aaronite mass, and their saint was Saint, I think it was Charbel.
Saint Charbel, yeah.
I just want to learn more about that. The way I understood it at the mass that we experienced was that his body laid uncorrupted, and that he had performed, or there's been a lot of documented miracles.
Oh, yeah. Okay. So you just wanted to know about St. Charbel. It's funny because every time I ever meet someone named Charbel, that person is Lebanese or of Lebanese heritage. That is because Charbel is a Lebanese saint. There might be others, but in my experience, that's the case. But I don't know. Do you have anything on St. Charbel, Carlo? Or?
No, unfortunately, Blas, I don't, man. I'm going to have to plead ignorance on that one. I can't help you on that question. I'm not well read with regard to the life of St. Charbel.
I'll tell you what, though. I'll send you Carlo's book. If your computer can tell you, Charbel is a major Eastern saint. So you can have you can find out plenty on the on your cell phone or the internet or whatnot. But I want to send you The Saints Pray for You, How the Christians in Heaven Help Us Here on Earth, Carlo Broussard's latest book, and say thanks. It was very nice talking with you. The number here is 888-318-7884. The lines have stayed pretty busy. There's one line open right now. If you have questions about the saints and purgatory, especially about how to talk with Protestants about these things, where there is some disagreement between Catholics and Protestants, 888-318-7884. Nobody's going to give me an easy pronunciation today. It's going to be all difficult pronunciations for me today. I'm going to say Nada in Dallas, Texas, listening on the Guadalupe Radio Network, and just hope that I pronounced it correctly.
Yes, that's right. It's Neda, so close enough.
Neda, okay, all right. Yeah, no, it was in the ballpark, but not quite right. All right, we'll get it right.
Yeah.
Neda, welcome. Go ahead with your question for Carlo.
Yes, I was speaking with a Baptist defending the Catholic faith regarding purgatory, and I was telling her that you know, in the Old Testament, people prayed for the dead, and it's in Maccabees, and they don't have Maccabees in their Bible. So how do you defend, where do you go from here besides telling them that, you know, it's in the Bible, it's people prayed for the dead, and, you know, in books that they don't have?
Yeah, great question. So I would turn to 1 Corinthians 3:11-15. I have a whole chapter on this one verse in my book, Purgatory is for Real, where I walk you through how you can explain, appealing to this verse, explain and exegete the text in order to show the reality of purgatory. And in summary there, what you have is St. Paul describing how someone builds upon the foundation of Jesus Christ. So that is a hint and a clue that that individual is saved, and how the works that that individual engages in order to build upon that foundation, and the materials that he's going to use to build upon that foundation, are going to be tested by fire on, quote unquote, the day, which for Paul is the day of judgment. And according to Hebrews 9:27, that comes after death. So Paul is envisioning a post-mortem after death state of existence where an individual Christian who is saved is going to have his works tested by fire. And St. Paul says if the works are gold, precious stones, or silver, representing good works, they will survive the testing of the fire. If those works are not so good, represented by wood, hay, and straw, they will be burned up in the fire. And Paul says that he will suffer loss on account of those not so good works, although he will be saved as through fire. So Paul envisions a postmortem state of existence of a saved Christian, which tells us it cannot be hell because the individual is saved, built upon the foundation of Jesus, and Paul explicitly says he is saved. And yet, it can't be heaven because the individual is suffering loss on account of those not so good works. And so what do we have here? A postmortem state of existence where a saved Christian is undergoing some form of purification symbolized by the fire. It's not heaven, it's not hell. What is it? We call it purgatory. And so that would be a good text that you could turn to that is in some way easy to try and explain to someone the reality of purgatory. What do you think of that?
Yes, I think that's, I need probably to ponder on this, read it again and ponder on it. And yes, thank you. And you know, another thing I find that even with Catholics, they say, well, you know, it's not in the Bible. The word purgatory is not in the Bible. And I find that if people don't believe in the church, you know, the tradition, then it's very difficult to go much further. What are your thoughts on that?
Yes. Yeah, so for our Protestant friends who are operating on the Bible alone, there are some Catholic beliefs that rely heavier on the sacred tradition than they do the sacred scripture. And consequently, it's going to be more difficult for a Protestant to embrace a particular Catholic belief that is leaning heavier on the sacred tradition than the sacred scripture, say Mary's bodily assumption or Mary's immaculate conception. Those would be examples where it leans heavier on the sacred tradition than sacred scripture, although there are hints of this and things within sacred scripture that point to these beliefs, if not outright proving those beliefs. And so it is true that it's more difficult sometimes for Protestants. But even though you mentioned about, you know, the word is not there, and it's not so much as the word not being present in the scriptures. The real question is the reality there? Is the theology there? And for many of our beliefs, that theology is there explicitly. And then other beliefs are there, maybe not explicitly, but at least implicitly, where there are certain things part and parcel of that revealed data that when reflected upon, you can draw out of that the reality that is embedded there in seed form, you might say. And this would be an example of Mary's Immaculate Conception, where you have the biblical data of Mary being the woman, the new Eve, in the prophecy of Genesis 3:15. And from there, we can extract the understanding of Mary being free from original sin, just like the first Eve was created free from original sin. So that would be one example of how you have Catholic belief implicit in that revealed data within sacred scripture. So again, the bottom line is, yes, it is more difficult sometimes when it comes to those beliefs that are not as explicit in sacred scripture, but rely heavier on sacred tradition. And that's where the discussion has to go toward, what do we look to in order to know God's revelation? Is it scripture alone? And so that's where the discussion is going to have to go, and to try and open a Protestant up to being disposed to receive certainty about God's revelation through sacred tradition.
Netta, it sounds like you've thought hard about these things. If you'd like a copy of Dr. Broussard's book, Purgatory is for Real, Good News About the Afterlife for Those Who Aren't Perfect Yet, I'd be very happy to send it to you. And I will remember and try to do my very best to pronounce your name correctly when you call next time. But what a fantastic conversation. I'm very glad you did call this time. Thank you. Hang on if you'd like a copy of that book. I'm going to go to Betty in Dickerson, North Dakota, listening on 101.9 FM. Betty, welcome. You got a question for Dr. Broussard?
Yeah. How many saints pray for us?
Well, Betty, that's a great question. So I think we can safely say that all the saints pray for us in a general way, insofar as they are members of the mystical body of Christ, imitating Christ as our high priest who always lives to make intercession for us. They intercede for all of us. All of them intercede for us, exercising charity in a general way. Now, as to whether or how many saints pray for us specifically with regard to our specific requests, well, that's a little bit more difficult to discern, Betty. We can know that whenever we request a saint to pray for us in a specific way, I ask a particular saint to pray for me, I can be sure that that saint's going to pray for me in a specific way for my requests, assuming that it is in accord with the divine will, with God's will. And I can be sure of that. And it's also possible that God could will a particular saint or a number of saints to pray for me in a specific way, even without my requests. And God wills that they be involved in my life in a very special way. And I might not know that until sometime later on down in my life. And so we can't put an exact number, Betty, as to how many saints pray for us in a specific way. That's something that God would have to reveal to us. And most of us don't have any sort of private revelations like that.
Betty, thank you. I'd love to send you a copy as well of Dr. Carlo Broussard's latest book, The Saints Pray for You: How the Christians in Heaven Help Us Here on Earth. If you'd like a copy, just hang on. We have come to the time where I need to go to the break, so I will say excuse me. We'll go to the break, and we'll be right back with lots more calls on the saints and purgatory with Dr. Carlo Broussard. The number here, 888-318-7884.
There's only one Catholic Answers Live.
Underwriting for Catholic Answers Live is provided by Real Estate for Life. Real Estate for Life connects home buyers and sellers to real estate agents while supporting pro-life organizations. On the web at realestateforlife.org.
One of the biggest mistakes a Christian can make is to try to do good without God's help. Saint Therese said, "When we trust only ourselves and not God, our soul becomes incapable of virtue." Her remedy? Works of charity. And the greatest work of charity is to share the gospel. At St. Paul Street Evangelization, a Catholic nonprofit, we encourage you to share the gospel with someone who doesn't know Jesus. Catholic Answers is supported in part by St. Paul Street Evangelization. StreetEvangelization.com.
As the largest religious media network in the world, EWTN has an important role in educating others about our Catholic faith and spreading the good news of salvation. We invite you to explore our numerous pages of historical faith documents, prayers, teachings, and other current issues in Catholicism today. Visit EWTN.com and click Catholicism. EWTN is the global Catholic network.
Back to Catholic Answers Live. Dr. Carlo Broussard is our guest. Say the Catholic Answers calendar for 2025 is out, and it's getting rave reviews. Well, from me anyways. I've been giving it rave reviews. I want to tell you about April. There's this wonderful – what we did this year – I should tell you this. What we did this year for the calendar is – and I say we, meaning the the institution here. Brooke and Chris Check did this. They got contemporary artists. We didn't go get the old or the ancient. We said – let's get some artists who are still alive. And this is a very young artist, Hildegard Moore. She's only in her 20s, but studied medieval illumination in, check this out, Darren, I practiced this, Angers, France. I hope I said that right. I had to look it up before we went on the air because I wanted to get it right. Like using the old medieval parchment techniques, and she mixed her own ink and paints, used the old materials like Arabic gum and egg and honey and all this stuff, and it looks so authentic. It's an illuminated text that she made, and it's just magnificent. So that's the April, but there's a beautiful piece of contemporary. And when I say contemporary, I just mean now. It's produced. It's not contemporary in the sense of, you know, the hokey art that you see in many places. It's beautiful sacred art just made today by people who are alive. So if you want to get the Catholic Answers 2025 calendar, go to Catholic.com and just click the bar at the top of the page and get your copy of the Catholic Answers Sacred Art for the Modern Age calendar. Catholic.com. All right. Dr. Carla Broussard is our guest. His new book is The Saints Pray for You, How the Christians in Heaven Help Us Here on Earth. It's just one of the many things he does. You can find out all about what he does at carlobroussard.com. I do want to mention the Sunday Catholic Word because he's more than halfway through the three-year cycle of Sunday readings. Each Thursday, a new episode is available at sundaycatholicword.com or wherever you get your podcasts. And Carlo gives you a reflection on the scripture, but from the view of a Catholic apologist. You get how does a Catholic apologist look at these scriptures? What's the apologetic value, or maybe what are the apologetic challenges in the scriptures this week? Check it out at sundaycatholicword.com or wherever you get your podcast, The Sunday Catholic Word with Dr. Carla Broussard. On we go, because every single line is full. Every single line is full. Monique is in Idaho, listening on Salt and Light Radio. Welcome, Monique. Go ahead with your question.
Hi. Thank you for having me. I just want to talk about guardian angels, because my mom always told me that we have guardian angels looking after us. And I was just wondering, how do we know our specific guardian angel's name, and how would we pray for them to help us better?
Wonderful. Thank
you. Yeah, Monique. Well, with regard to the question of knowing their specific name, we wouldn't know that unless the Lord would provide for us some sort of private revelation. Is it okay to ask that? Well, I mean, I've heard some priests and some people who are very into angelology to express caution with regard to requesting an angel, your guardian angel's name. And I think one of the reasons for that is that you don't want to provide an opportunity for a demon to somehow manifest a name to where you're actually invoking the demon or something. I do think maybe perhaps there might be some sort of safe way of doing that and asking our Lord to somehow give you a little signal grace for that. But I think ultimately for me, Monique, in order to avoid any sort of bad things like some people might say, there's nothing wrong with just directing your prayer to your guardian angel and just referring to him, or referring to your guardian angel as my guardian angel. God and your guardian angel knows that the request you're making of the angel is directed to that angel and not some other. And so by invoking in the name of Jesus and invoking God's presence and invoking the intercession of your guardian angel, that prayer request will be directed specifically to your angel. So I think I want to say that there's really no need to have a name ascribed to your guardian angel in order to bring about more fruits of the request that you make of your guardian angel and entering into a relationship with your guardian angel. And so that's what I would say to that. There's really no sort of definitive answer on this one. It's more of sort of a prudential wisdom given the spiritual masters within our faith. And some would express caution with it, and perhaps others would say it would be a good thing. And so for me personally, I just rather stick with relating to my guardian angel just by simply referring to the guardian angel as my guardian angel.
Monique, what do you think?
I think that's a good idea, and I've always felt strongly that I was in an accident once, in a boat accident, and I felt like I came away with just a mark on my back. I felt like an angel or something pushed me out of the way of the boat because it almost hit me. So I feel, I love angels, and I feel very strongly about them.
Amen, Monique. And in fact, I mean, this is something that I often do in class with my students. I teach at our Catholic Classical School here at Holy Family in Tulsa. And very often I will begin our classes with the guardian angel prayer and invoking our guardian angels to intercede for us, because they are often the forgotten saints who are there to pray for us and intercede for us. So it's a beautiful devotion to have, Monique, to establish that relationship with your guardian angel. And I would encourage you to continue doing it.
If you would like them, Monique, I would like to send you a couple books. We have a beautiful little booklet from Jimmy Akin called The Words of Eternal Life, True Happiness, and Where to Find It. We also have the book Why We're Catholic from Trent Horn. If you would like those, all you have to do is hang on. It'll take just a quick second, and then Siobhan will get on the line. You can give her an address. We'll send them to you. It's entirely up to you whether you'd like to get them, but I'd love to send them to you. And thank you very much for your question. Joshua's in Amarillo, Texas, listening on the Catholic Answers app. Joshua, thanks for downloading the app onto your phone. Go ahead with your question for Dr. Carla Broussard.
Hello. Thank you all for taking my question. Dr. Broussard, I was just wondering if you could comment on Hallowtide, given that, you know, the Solemnity of All Saints is right around the corner and Halloween is right around the corner as well. So if you could please comment on that, I'd really appreciate it.
Yeah, with regard to what? Like whether we should participate? Well, what's the history behind it?
Maybe just a little bit of the history, especially since our culture is very secular and, decides to, celebrate things that are more demonic in nature. If you could just comment on that would be great.
It's a good question, Joshua. So first of all, with regard to the history of All Saints Day, I would have to do more research on that. I just don't have the relevant knowledge for that in my journey of knowledge. I haven't read it to look at the history of it. With regard to the celebration of All Saints Day and preparing for it on the eve of the Hallowed Ones, what we call Halloween, it is true, obviously, that our culture indeed does celebrate something different than what we as Catholics celebrate on the eve of All Saints Day. And so the question arises, well, should we participate? And Catholics are free to disagree on this, right? So there's no definitive church precept that's going to forbid or permit Catholics to participate in the cultural, quote unquote, Halloween. And so I do think that we're going to have to employ certain prudential principles and judgments as to the degree to which we participate in Halloween. So, as I think through it, Joshua, I ask myself, is there anything wrong with participating in a cultural, quote-unquote, holiday, although it's not a holiday, but you get the point, a cultural day that involves dressing up in a variety of different costumes and characters? No, there's nothing wrong with that. Is there anything wrong with doing that when it's taking the place of celebrating All Saints Day? Well, if you're only doing that and you're not observing the Holy Day of Obligation of All Saints Day and celebrating the saints, then maybe that would be a problem, right? Because you're allowing a cultural celebration to take the place of the Catholic celebration. And so I think what I want to say here, Joshua, is it's not a matter of either or, it's a matter of both and. But assuming on conditions, so I would reason through it, that insofar as we partake of the cultural celebration of Halloween, that we're exercising good Christian judgments with regard to the degree to which we participate, so that we're not celebrating the demonic or, making ourselves as if we are demons and all of the evil aspects of it. I think those are things that we want to do our best as Christians to avoid, while at the same time trying to participate in and celebrate good things about the cultural celebration, while at the same time celebrating and participating in the Catholic celebration of All Saints Day. And so the bottom line here, Joshua, is I have come to a position in my judgment to where I don't want to be entirely overreactive to the culture celebration of Halloween, to where I exclude it completely. Rather, I have taken the approach with my family currently to recognize what is good there and celebrate what is good and avoid what is evil and what we have come to judge that we ought not to participate in, while at the same time trying to focus on the Catholic understanding of the feast day and remembering the saints and celebrating their holiness.
Joshua, thank you very much. If you'd like a copy of the book, The Saints Pray for You, Dr. Carla Broussard's new book, just hang on and we will send it to you. One thing about Halloween, it's the one day of the year that keeps the dry ice business going. Those dry ice purveyors, they need Halloween to bring in the bucks. We'll take a quick break, and then we will be back with more. Let's see, there's two, probably about to be three lines open. So a great time to call, 888-318-7884. Dr. Carla Broussard is our guest. And because he's got this new book, The Saints Pray for You, How the Christians in Heaven Help Us Here on Earth, we're talking about saints and purgatory. And if you've got questions about how to explain that to your Protestant friends, give a call. 888-318-7884.